You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Nothing to lose, maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
Sandy's very thoughtful music this morning. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Certainly fitting my mood. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you, Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about the impact of the frustrations you can have locally when you watch government happening around you, and you wonder what you can do about it, and whether you can do anything about it. And I think the lesson that I'm learning from the experience I'm having is that we all have to try and do something about it. We can't let this happen. You know, there were other countries and other times, and I know people say it's hysterical to point back at Germany, but, you know, the drift into authoritarianism happens, and it's a bit like the frog in the pot with the heat in the water. You know, the water starts out cold, it gets warm, it's still tolerable, and before you know it, it's boiling and you're done. And so we can't let the people around us put on brown shirts without doing something about it.
You know, Sandy, let's do this. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what? Mike.
I'm with you big time as far as being frustrated. But I'll tell you, the more I look into this stuff, and the more I do my civic duty of, you know, trying to figure out what they're talking about when we hear Trump talk about massive fraud and abuse. There isn't anything there. The press secretary, White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, when asked to provide examples, all she did basically was roll out DEI programs that they disagreed with. Well, that's a policy challenge. It's not illegal. It's not a crime. Might be an example of waste, but that's something, you know, for Congress to settle out. Let Congress do their job. But I'm with you. I'm with you guys. It's very tough watching this imperialism develop. It's the loudest voice in the room that seems to be dominating common
sense. Mike?
The big message for me today is this is all unnecessary. The economy is strong. The pie pieces are just distributed wrong. That's it. You take care of redistribution in making the elites in the top 1% pay their fair share, and this thing completely changes. But again, while they continue their lies and their claims of massive fraud, somehow the American people are falling for the big lie and that their tactics all over again. It's really frustrating as a student of history, and I know you're feeling this way, Sandy, as well, when we are going down a similar path that were disastrous. It's never been a good thing for we the people when America took austerity measures. It's not a good thing. It's always constricting.
Well, you know, Mike, when you talk about austerity measures, it would be different if they weren't doing this because they're going to get these tremendous tax cuts. You know, that's the reason behind all of it, is enriching themselves at the expense of the American people, Sandy.
Well, and the thing that's clear to me is that this, all of this talk that's gone on for the last 5 years, in which there's been a fog put up around the truth and about facts, and allowing people to use words willy-nilly to mean whatever they choose, is now coming back to haunt us, because we have Elon Musk, we have the president, we have everyone else talking about corruption and fraud, when what they're really talking about is programmatic differences they have with what's going on. You know, having DEI programs is not fraudulent, and it's not corrupt. And yet that's the kind of thing that is being aimed at with the slashing that's going on in government. We have Elon Musk telling the president, and the president repeating to the people, the fact that there are tens and hundreds of billions of dollars of corruption and fraud, and yet they've not come forward with a single example of something that amounts to corruption or fraud. And that's because we've allowed the world to adopt language and to adopt meanings for words that are totally fictional. And we've allowed fiction to replace fact in the world of politics. And now it's coming back to haunt us.
You know, Sandy, I was reading this morning, and thank you very much for the call, Mike. I can tell in your voice you're feeling the same way that I am. Sandy, they were talking about all of these people on Social Security who are over 120 years old. And so we found, thousands and thousands of people 120 years old still getting Social Security check. Well, they're saying that, Sandy. Like you said, they haven't been able to prove any of that, and they throw that out there, and it supports the things that they're doing. Because there are people who in this country, and not all, because the half of the people in this country don't agree with any of that madness, yet we're trapped in that, Sandy. We're trapped in what the other half of the American people support.
Well, and people should project, the people who are supporting what's going on should project this forward in time, to the time when a Democrat is in office,
yeah,
and is doing and carrying out the same sort of purge of government employees and the same sort of shift in policies unilaterally based on a so-called mandate, when the United States hasn't had a presidential mandate of any substantial form for decades and decades.
Let's go to Tony from Madison. Good morning to you, Tony. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the call.
So where are all the Democrats in this? For every executive order that President Trump issued, shouldn't there have been a lawsuit issued by the group of Democrats congealed together for all of this?
Well, Sandy's the barrister. He'll respond to your
question. There have been a whole spate of lawsuits filed with respect to executive orders. And the fact is that maybe the Democratic Party as an organization was not ready for what's going on, because we have 500 plus executive orders, some of which relate to plastic straws rather than paper straws, and some of which have a huge amount of substantive impact. And I think that the triage on that is that the ones with substantive impact have been brought to the attention of the judicial organization, courts around the country. But here's the problem. Courts take time, even when they act quickly, and courts have limited capacity to enforce their orders. And so we have an executive who has basically decided to thumb his nose at the courts, and has thumbed his nose at the courts for an entire lifetime.
Tony?
Okay.
All right, Tony, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Welcome. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Good morning. Getting back to the city of Milwaukee and public schools and the police department, I have some expertise, obviously, in that field. And I was working when we had police officers in the schools. This created a problem for the city of Milwaukee. And the reason why, if you pull officers off the street and put them in the schools, you have less officers on the street. Less officers on the street means crime on the street escalates. So by doing what the courts are doing, they are putting the police department in a stranglehold because they don't have enough officers to replenish the schools and the streets at the same time. And I guess nobody thought about this because it takes a long time to train an officer to go onto the streets, and it's very costly. And I don't think that what they're doing is appropriate. They have school security officers, and if they need officers, then the police department can send the officers to the school. But by taking police officers off the streets, just makes it much more difficult for the officers to respond to the calls. And I guess nobody really thought about that. And until the police department gets a sizable increase to hire more police officers, this will continue on. And where does the police department in the city get their money, their increases? They're going to have to increase the property taxes and the taxes on goods in the city of Milwaukee. There you go.
Hey Susan, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. I concur with what you are saying. They can't find enough police officers right now. The city has gone across the state and other places recruiting new police officers. They can't find them. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. Sandy, Congress is closing in on the shutdown deadline with no clear plan. This may be a time, you've always said, Sandy, they're not going to shut down. But based on what's happening today, we may see the shutdown. I'd like to hear your thoughts. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot. With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host Sandy Williams. Sandy, you say what? Can't hear you.
All politics is local.
All right.
The music basically reflects the fact that whatever happens ends up happening locally, and that's how we experience it. And my concern is that what's happening nationally is coming home to roost locally, and it's going to come home quickly and with lots of damage.
You know, last night when I was at the Democratic gathering and spoke, after one of the state Supreme Court justices, County Executive David Crowley spoke, and said he spoke about the impact of what's getting ready to happen here in Milwaukee County with the unstable issues that they are seeing and concerned about coming down the pike. He said that's their fear is, you know, you can't run the county government if you're not getting, you know, support from the federal government, Sandy. And as you said, that impacts all sorts of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Medicaid dollars are right at the heart of many people's personal issues and at the heart of local funding issues, both funding from the county standpoint and as well reimbursement from the hospitals and medical system.
All right, let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Hey, guys, long time, no talk. First call since President Trump won the election. First of all, I just want to begin by saying happy belated President's Day to the greatest president of my lifetime, President Donald J. Trump. I don't know
well,
when
well,
well, it's
pretty,
it's,
well, it's pr- well, it, well, Chad, it's pretty clear if he's the greatest president of your lifetime, you haven't lived a very long life.
I'm 50 years old, sir, and I'd love to go over all those accomplishments. But first of all, let me answer Tom's question about joining him. Tom, absolutely not. We will not join you. When are you guys ever going to learn your lesson? Tom compared right on your program.
Hey, Chad. Chad, this is not a conversation between you and Tom. What do you have to say in regards to what we're talking about?
I'll say right now, you guys do not learn your lesson. You're comparing Hitler. You let President Trump being compared to Hitler again. Tom Hanks goes on and says about racist Trump supporters that you guys don't learn. President Trump has over a 50% approval rate. He's doing what people want. His appearances at Daytona 500, his appearances at Super Bowl, he's getting just ovations that we haven't seen.
Hey Chad, you're talking about him
let me respond
to this first. You're talking about him being at a Super Bowl or at a racetrack and the ovations that he's getting. What percentage of people do you think that includes at a racetrack or at a Super Bowl? 100,000? 50,000?
I'll tell you.
Come on, man.
Well, hey, his last approval rate is over 50% or all.
You've called in sort of randomly without much that you want to affirmatively say. Let me ask you some questions, though. Do you agree with what's going on in the city of New York with respect to the mayor of New York? Do you see political danger? Do you see the problem of potential corruption of public officials with respect to what's going on with the U.S. Attorney's Office in the city of New York? Does that trouble you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I disagree with everything in New York because they prosecuted President Trump using.
Well, okay, so do you think that the mayor of a city ought to be, the prosecution of the mayor of a city ought to be called off so that he can better coordinate with the policies of the president and be under the president's thumb? Do you think that's a safe place for American politics?
If they're not going to follow the rules that have been established for harboring illegal aliens. Well, right now you cannot harbor. This has been a long time. You cannot harbor illegal aliens. And Governor Hockley and that with James, they're trying to do that. So now, where do the rules apply? Now, again, let me ask you.
Hey, Chad.
Proficiently.
Hey, Chad. This is not about you asking us questions. I will say this to you. So you're talking about the rules that they're not following. There's a mayor who clearly has been indicted or was about to be indicted for laws that he broke. And Donald Trump comes in and his minions and they wipe all that away. You think that's a good thing?
I'll tell you what. First of all, you guys loved this mayor until he sided with President Trump.
That's not.
Look, here's the issue, Chad. I'm not talking about policy. And I'm not particularly strident about any particular policies. I am strident about procedure. Do you think that this president is entitled to ignore laws and to implement whatever it is he wants to implement in the way of policies, regardless of the law?
Well, just like the governor of New York and James disregarding laws of illegal aliens. You guys think that's okay? Now, President Trump?
I don't think the question is whether we ought to allow a president to run roughshod over the laws, whether we ought to really agree with the president that he who thinks he's saving the country is above the law. And to me, that's the most dangerous prospect here. Process, not policy. Policy comes and goes. Policy changes with the winds. Policy changes with the times. Policy changes with politics. But procedures have to endure.
You know, Sandy, you didn't register. Nothing you said registered with Chad, because there are guys like that, and unfortunately far too many, who aren't going to be able to see until these policies impact and affect them directly. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you. More on the Earl Ingram Show. You've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, put away the DDT.
The wheels are muddy. Whoa, oh, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams, Sandy the Music.
Yeah, it's about local, basically, frustration, local politics, and the extent to which we can all be frustrated about the extent to which what's going on nationally is going to affect us locally, and what can we do about it?
You know, Sandy, what's so frightening, it's people like Chad who calls and goes back to that you guys and not understanding that Donald Trump has destabilized the world already, Sandy. The world is destabilized. And a guy like Chad and others like him are still playing this game about you guys had your chance. Man, he doesn't even see... He doesn't, Sandy, he can't even visualize the inherent danger that we're facing right now.
You know, I have a sense that people like people in MAGA who are so committed and conditioned to believe everything that Donald Trump does is the right thing have projected his narcissism onto themselves and have decided that he's their guy. And whatever he does, regardless of what it is and whether he's ever talked about it before, whether they voted for it, whether anyone understood that that's what was the implication of electing Donald Trump, that regardless of that, their guy has been elected. And Katie bar the door, he's free to do as he chooses because they've imprinted on him. And I don't understand it, quite frankly, because what he's doing around the world is breathtaking, and what he's doing in this country is breathtaking in terms of unilaterally carrying out activities which seem to be, number one, without much counsel, without much advice from experts. It's sort of amateurs playing a game in public with us.
So, Sandy, how many presidents has there been, it's a rhetorical question, that built kind of goodwill with the European nations and goodwill around the world, for one man to come and destroy that. You know, he's doing it. I don't know if he's aware, Sandy, that he's doing it. Your take on that?
Well, I think it's people who don't remember the fact that the great wars of the 20th century were all fought between Europeans in Europe. And one of the reasons that we've had this alliance with Europe along after World War II was that we needed peace in the world, and we need Europe to be a peaceful place. I mean, there has been a European war. There have been two European wars since 1990. We had the Bosnian, Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, Croatia eruption, and now we have the Ukrainian war. So, I mean, the wars that we have not participated in, but which have been substantial, chaotic wars, occurred in Europe. And we're apparently treating Europe now with the back of our hand.
Yeah, it is just, you and I talked a little earlier before we go back to the phone lines about what they're really doing. That China is in the background. And so we're lobbying, we're destroying any goodwill that was created between this nation and all these other nations. And we're forcing them where, Sandy?
Well, China is the biggest trading partner for a number of countries, not the United States, but China and a number of European countries. And China runs around the world and does not exact from people any promises with respect to ideological commitments. So unlike J.D. Vance, who goes to Europe and scolds the Europeans for what they're doing internally in their country and their politics, China is a very passive participant in trade. And we're driving people in the direction of China. We're driving Mexico in the direction of China. We're driving Canada in the direction of China. And now we're taking Europe and basically treating it with the back of our hand. Europe, the second biggest trading partner with the European Union is China. And what we're basically doing is promoting the notion that maybe China ought to be their biggest trading partner.
You know, Sandy, long term, really, the damage that they're doing in this short window is long term, right? I mean, those nations aren't going to return back if they're going to find something more comforting in China. I mean, why would they return?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the thing is that these things have momentum, and we are killing the momentum associated with the relationship between the United States and Europe, and we're putting them in the direction of having a circumstance which is better for them and makes them less vulnerable. Having a European standing army might be good for Europe, but we didn't think it was a good idea in 1952, and I don't think it'll be a good idea in 2026.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I just think that all of this is being done with short-sightedness, both historical short-sightedness as well as prospective short-sightedness in terms of what the implications are. And I just think that we would be better off operating with much more deliberation and much more counsel and much less knee-jerk and much less ideology.
You know, Sandy, Mark said, Vance essentially said that we are not the sugar daddy anymore. I mean, what is that?
Well, that isn't what I was talking about with respect to Vance's speeches in Europe. What Vance went to Europe about was to talk to them about how they ought to allow the right wing in Europe to have a far greater voice, that they in Europe were afraid of the right wing and they ought to be embracing the right wing. He was scolding them about their local politics. As for whether or not Europe ought to have a sugar daddy or not, or how much military expenditure we ought to make and they ought to make, Mark ought to understand that historically speaking, we organized NATO and we made NATO our client. And NATO became one of the biggest clients of our military-industrial complex in terms of its armaments. And we decided that we wanted to dominate NATO so that we would not be participating in European wars in the future. Now, maybe Europe has evolved to the point where, yes, they should be cut loose from our military umbrella to the extent that we currently have it. But that's a policy to be discussed and worked upon and deliberated about. That isn't the problem I have with J.D. Vance and what he did in Europe.
Let's go to Ann. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much. You say what?
Yeah, I just have to say that these MAGAs that call in are just a reflection of Donald Trump until it affects them personally. And as far as Tom goes, he knows more about how government works than this 50-year-old person that called in. And I just have to say, when we go to war, I want to hear from Chad. I want to hear what Chad says, because when his parents lose Medicaid or Medicare, what's Chad going to say then? Because it seems like all they care about is Trump going to the Super Bowl and going to NASCAR. I just think, where are people? Where are Americans? Do they not see what's going on in our country? And you know what? It's not 50%. He can say 50% all he wants, but this girl is not a 50%er. So thank you.
Hey, Ann, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, this divide, if ever there was a time, and you know, we've said on this show, and you've said it many times, trying to bring people back together. But it's almost impossible to bring people back together when the policies, well, not even policies, but the things that are being done are not with trying to bring the nation back together, Sandy. There's nothing that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are saying and doing to try to bring the nation back together. They're continuing to divide.
Well, in fact, if you read the introduction to Project 2025, which is now a very telling introduction, because it is describing exactly what's going on. They describe there the fact that they believe that the conservatives have a 2-year window to carry out what they describe as a war to change America. It's a revolution and a war against America as it is, to change it into the America that they hope it to be, which is an imperial president. And a presidency and a White House that micromanages all of the operations of the U.S. federal government in a manner that reflects an authoritarian. And so what is intended by Project 2025 is not a bringing together of the people. It is not building a consensus. It is taking a 2-year window of time and jamming down the throats of America all the changes that they wish to implement, the laws be damned. And so I think the people, Chad and everyone else, ought to read that introduction to Project 2025 and then as much of Project 2025 as they can stomach, and to understand what it is that's going on and to try and figure out whether they're comfortable with that sort of a concept for government.
Let's go to Gene. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning. Good job, Ann, from Chippewa. I'd like to say something because, you know, this reminds me so much of a hostile takeover. I'm sure everybody's familiar with hostile takeovers. We almost had one in Eau Claire area. And they come in. They say there's problems with the business. They start firing all kinds of people. And they fire not the people that should be fired. They fire people who know what's going on, how to run the company, how to get them out of debt, those types of things. And then they raid their pensions. And there's nothing left to save. Now, all these different people they're put in these positions have zero experience finding all kinds of problems, especially the wealthy ones there, saying all these people are getting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that shouldn't get it. No, there's all this money there. And, yeah, and who's watching these people? And where are the people who really know what's going on? They've been fired. So wake up, folks, because this is serious business. And, you know, this divide and conquer business is chaos. Own the libs. Ooh, they're woke. Well, they better get their heads out of their butts and get woke, because this is serious stuff. And we can do something about it. And you keep going, L.A. Tom. I hear you. We're still here. We're not stopping. Thank you very much.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, the depth of what is transpiring in this country requires a serious reckoning. you know, Congress closing in on shutdown deadline with no clear plan. I don't know. As long as you and I have been together, you've always said, don't worry about the shutdown. It's not going to happen. In this instance, Sandy, I don't know.
Well, this one isn't going to happen either because as far as Trump is concerned, he's got Doge and they have the government in the palm of their hand, they think. And they aren't going to suffer the PR problem of a shutdown because they don't need it. But
they don't need the Democrats. They don't need the Democrats.
Well, if the Democrats are willing to shut it down, we'll see. But I think the analogy of a hostile takeover is a good one. But I've been involved with mergers in the corporate world. And when there's a merger, people who want the business to succeed at the end of the merger put together a committee to try and figure out what it is they're going to do about redundancies that might exist in the businesses and who it is that might get proffered opportunities to retire early or otherwise be laid off. And it's done in a very careful manner designed to make sure that the business at the end of the merger is better than it was before. That's not the way this is being carried out at all. This is completely a MEDEX applied to the federal government.
855-752-4842 is Tuesday. It means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I'm just trying to find a ray of sun in all of this, Sandy. And that's what's so frightening to me is, you know, it's getting darker all the time.
Well, what I'm appalled by is the openness and notoriousness of the conduct, for instance, with respect to Mayor Adams in New York, and the process of compromising publicly, politically, taking control of and corrupting the mayor of New York in an open and notorious manner, or the granting of pardons to people who simply because they convert to being political loyalists, the process of declaring things to be waste and corruption without proof, and then to act on that, the anecdotal misstatements by Elon Musk. Elon Musk adopting the premise that the 60 Minutes show was a criminal show and criminal because of the way they supposedly edited Kamala Harris's conversation on that show, when now the transcript has been released and it's proven that there was nothing nefarious carried out. You know, people are continuing to carry the big lies forward and to use it as a basis for basically jamming our government in a manner that makes it unrecognizable.
Or Trump barring the Associated Press from Air Force One. People don't understand the implications of that, Sandy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable because what's happened is the conduct that used to be scandalous and would probably be actionable if carried out privately is now being carried out publicly, and there's no problem. You know, Elon Musk, a person who relies for federal contracts for a great deal of his wealth, is now in charge of the federal government and is taking control of all of the agencies, and his legion is running through the agencies roughshod, firing people, changing the operations of the it was announced yesterday that he was going to take control of the FAA's
Yes.
Airport control processes and fix them. Well, normally that's the subject of a great deal of analysis and study, and then contracts are opened up to be bid upon. And here we have somebody just unilaterally deciding, hey, I'm going to take control of the FAA processes and fix them.
Let's go to Bill from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you. You say what?
Thanks, Earl and Sandy. Say, I got a proposal or a question. I want to hear your feedback on it. We are at a constitutional crisis. I think it behooves the judicial side and the legislative side, Democrats, to work together. And ask Neil Gorsuch and team, do you want this to be your legacy in the future history books, that it was written, this is how you turned over the government of the United States? Correct me if I'm wrong. It is against the Constitution to have a foreign national run our budget control and money control. I think it's totally illegal in black and white. I'm going to hang up. I want your retrospect on the judicial and legislative system working together but holding the Supreme Court accountable. What do you think? I'll hang up. Thanks. And
thank you. Thank you, Bill. Sandy?
Well,
wishful
Elon
thinking.
Elon Musk is a foreigner, but he is also a U.S. citizen. He's got three citizenships. He's apparently quite fickle about which country and which passport he can carry. But, the problem is we have a division of government. The governments are the elements of our government are supposed to look over one another's shoulders and hold each other accountable. Having two of them line up together is sort of contrary to that process. But what we definitely have to do is give the Supreme Court the courage to do what they ought to do. And my fear is that we have a Supreme Court that might be compromised in that regard.
You know, Sandy, all of this is more than what you can take, because again, there is no Superman coming. And those of us who've been around a while, we've never seen our government in a place like this. Not in our lives, Sandy. Maybe before, but have you ever seen our government in a situation such as this?
Well, I've never seen us develop a fictional world like the fictional world we've developed with half or almost half of the people in this country may be persuaded that they're living in a country which is broken, that they're living in a country which is in peril. They're living in a country which needs to be saved by somebody who will come in and act unilaterally in the manner that Donald Trump is acting. Donald Trump puts out a tweet saying a man who saves his country is above the law. Well, save us from what? I mean, the country has had a strong economy. The country, we definitely need to get our moorings with respect to how we run our country. And we need to do that in the manner that is consistent with our Constitution. But our country is not broken, and we don't need to break the country in order to fix it. And what we have ongoing right now is a political regime who has declared our country to be broken and is now treating it in that manner and is in the process breaking the country.
Hey, Sandy, great stuff, man. Really enjoyed it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Sandy, I'll see you on Friday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Cardi, you as well. Up next, Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Matinee on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.